Thank you, Julia.
Good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of worship today. It seems last week we went through a time change, and this week we went through a season change, right? We woke up this morning, it is chilly. A little cold this morning, but it's beautiful. I just stepped outside between services, blue sky, really nice. But good to be in the house of the Lord. I play this game with my sister. My sister lives in St. Louis, and so we often have very different weather. And Friday, she sent me a picture of it snowing at her house. And so I ran out to the beach and took a picture of me on the beach with it being 75 degrees and in shorts. And I get more out of the game than she does. I don't know why. But the bad thing about it is I know 2 days later I'm going to get whatever weather she had. You know, it's not going to snow, but it's going to get cold. But anyway, good to be here today. Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Mark. We're in chapter 12. Beginning in verse 38, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word to us, and especially the word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we might follow him along the path of righteousness as you have laid it out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, our family got a dog for the first time. It was a puppy, really. You know, if you've ever been to 412, you might see our dog because we tend to walk the dog down at 8 o'clock as we pick up our kids from youth group. And so anyway, the dog kind of, you know, hangs out around the neighborhood. She's an Australian Shepherd Poodle mix, affectionately called an Aussie Doodle. We call her Molly. I'd never owned a dog as a child and didn't know how to act around them much. I was bitten by a German Shepherd when I was little, as I was doing my paper route when I was in middle school. And so I became pretty shy around dogs. I always owned cats. Cats don't take a whole lot of work. They don't take a whole lot of training. Dogs, on the other hand, can be delightful companions if they've been well trained. Our neighbors have such a dog. She's friendly and cuddly, never barks or bites or jumps up on you. She'll fetch the ball, she'll get the frisbee, she's practically perfect. I know this dog has been well trained. But our family, we're new to the whole dog thing, so it's not just the dog that's being trained, it's rather all of us who are being trained as owners. Maybe it varies by the breed, I don't know. But one thing I've learned is that if a dog is left to his or her own devices without proper training, that it will go and smell and chew and do just about anything, including doing things that don't make a whole lot of sense. I can hear my grandmother now when a dog would come through the neighborhood and start messing around in her flower garden, sniffing at something. She'd say, "Will you look at that crazy dog?" Which brings me to my story. I was recently reading where the Crow Indians used to act like crazy dogs on purpose. Whenever their lives would seem to get into a rut, they would engage in what they called crazy dog activities. Now, being a crazy dog might mean doing something simple like purposely eating breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast. Or it might be something silly like wearing your clothes inside out. But being a crazy dog also meant taking some risks, daring to be seen as foolish or strange. Not to put yourself in harm's way, mind you, but to do something for the sake of others or for your own well-being. Brian Brown Walker, in his book, The Crazy Dog Guide to Lifetime Happiness, suggests that we ought to participate in such silly activities from time to time. He says, just take a few hours and just follow your dog and do whatever it does. Well, not everything, but on the more serious side, Walker's advice for dealing with difficult people in difficult situations is called be bigger than you are. You've heard this advice, right? Instead of teaching ways to avoid difficult people and difficult situations, Walker recommends taking the crazy dog approach and doing the exact opposite of what you really want to do. He says what you should do is just truly listen to the gripes of your coworker, your neighbor, your relative. In fact, he says, invite the most nasty-tempered, unlovable character you know to air his or her grievances to you and then be big enough, indeed bigger than you are, to take it all in and let it roll off your back. Jesus called this being a servant, making the last come first, exalting the meek and lowly over the rich and powerful. A true crazy dog, if ever there was one, Jesus was constantly standing conventional practices and perspectives on their heads. Of course, it was in his genes. If ever there was a people that was full of crazy dogs, it was the Jews. They began with Abraham and Sarah, two crazies who had the ridiculous notion that although they were in their 90s, that they were being called to leave their home, go to a new territory, and become parents. Not only of a son, but also of a new kind of people. Whenever the Jews confronted obstacles faithfully, it usually required a crazy dog solution. Moses was certainly crazy to go to Pharaoh and demand, "Let my people go." Militarily, Joshua clearly qualified as a crazy dog, as did Deborah, or Gideon with his trumpets, or David with his slingshot. And after the decline of Israel as a nation state, the crazy dog conviction reemerged in some of the antics of the prophets, like Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and in the bravery of individuals like Ruth and Esther. God's craziness got even more out of whack when the time for the Messiah finally arrived. Defying good sense and common sensibilities, Jesus was born in a stable instead of a palace, and he grew up in Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And while born in the line of David, he actually arrived as the firstborn in the family of a poor carpenter or construction worker from a small town in a long conquered land. Throughout his unpredictable life, Jesus performed crazy dog stunts like associating with tax collectors, eating with prostitutes, confronting the religious leaders, healing the lepers, serving the poor, the sick, and the uneducated. And just as Jesus was getting really popular, he risked everything by traveling to Jerusalem and needling the religious establishment to within an inch of its patience and then beyond its tolerance. For the culmination of Jesus' life and work was the biggest crazy dog moment of all time, when he went to the cross for our sins and then was raised again on the third day to redeem all of creation. John Updike's essay on incarnation is about the Gospel of Matthew, but it could be about any of the Gospels. He writes that in Jesus, two worlds are colliding. For Jesus overthrows common sense. He declares an inversion of the world's order, whereby the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The meek shall inherit the earth. The hungry and thirsty shall be satisfied, and it is the poor in spirit that shall possess the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom, he writes, is both the hope and pain of Christianity. It goes against the grain, through the denial of instinct and social wisdom, and through faith in the unseen. Or as our youth and children's director, Christina Norville, said, it's like a salmon going upstream. Unfortunately, the church forgets too often that its heart lies in trusting God's craziness rather than our craftiness. We are more comfortable ourselves with rebuilding carefully and dully all the wrong roads and all the wrong ruts to faith that Jesus spent a lifetime trying to undo. Like the lambasted scribes who wore these long robes, we want to distinguish ourselves as righteous and educated and respectable people. We prefer to live so that we might receive honor and recognition in the temples, in the marketplaces, and at the banquets, rather than risking ourselves and risking our status by practicing Jesus' upside down, inside out, crazy dog attitude toward life and faith. But even as the church continues to resist Jesus' call to think and act like a crazy dog, other institutions are beginning to recognize the creative power of an upside down, inside out approach to life. There's emerging a new old way of thinking about the world which is coming from a host of different places. From the economic world comes the concept of upside down thinking, introduced by Charles Handy in The Age of Unreason, published by the Harvard Business School. He writes, upside down thinking wonders why roads are free and railroads expensive in every country of the world, and suspects that maybe it ought to be the other way around. Well, I live in North Carolina, and so that doesn't speak a whole lot to me, but if I lived in a more urban area, I might think that makes a lot of sense, especially when it comes to mass transit. Upside-down thinking is like brainstorming, he says. It's easy to think of violent objections to every idea. It's easy, but it's unwise. It's unwise because it'll stop the idea in its tracks before it ever has a chance to stretch itself, to get nudged into shape, and perhaps speak to other people and to other ideas. Last year, for instance, I went to a leadership seminar with a few of the staff members of the church. It was held right here in Wilmington. And one of the things we were taught when we heard a new idea come up from the congregation was to first say, wow, instead of asking, how? It's easy to listen to a new idea and say, why? It's a lot harder to say, why not? Jesus was always saying, why not? Why not associate with tax collectors? Why not heal the immigrant Syrophoenician woman's daughter? Why not ride triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a scrawny donkey instead of a magnificent war horse? Why not recognize the poor woman who gave all she had in those two small coins instead of the rich man who gave just a portion of his wealth? Why not? Is a response that opens the door for change. The essence of the gospel is an inside-out paradox. It is an upside-down preposterousness. The way up is down, the way in is out, the way high is low. Jesus turns the world upside down and invites us to an upside down way of thinking, an inside out way of living. Jesus spent most of his ministry promoting crazy dog thinking, urging his disciples to join with him in the crazy dog pursuit of faithfulness and fulfillment. The kingdom of God, Jesus insisted, would be filled with crazy dogs. People who actually believe the first are last, that the greatest are the least, that the strong are the weak, and that the meek will inherit it all. Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he called all their successors to be next generation leaders, people of faith who refuse to give yesterday's answers to tomorrow's problems. We're called not simply to observe the changes that happen all around us, or even to participate in all of them, but rather by asking why not, by considering unexpected, unusual, unconventional, upside-down possibilities. Jesus calls us to actually construct changes. We are to be the architects of change, the catalyst of change, building on our past, yet making new patterns to deal with the future. I know. Who am I to talk about this? I live a pretty comfortable life, right? But when I turn on the news, or I dare to engage with someone who might have less, or even just stop and listen to somebody that I know and care about, I start to hear problems that I'd never thought about. And I see that this world needs a lot of change. Are you brave enough to be a crazy dog? Are you curious enough to ask why not? Are you willing to look at the world the way that God does and set about to help make it better instead of standing by and letting the same problems happen day after day and year after year? Today's Veterans Day. Actually, the 100th anniversary of the ending of World War I. And I think about all those people in the last century and even before, of course, who put on a uniform and said, I'm not willing to sit idly by and let oppression and tyranny rule the day. No, I want to get involved. I want to fix this. It also happens to be the anniversary of the Church of England's decision to ordain women as priests for the first time. Because instead of asking why, people started asking, why not? Furthermore, it's the anniversary of the creation of the Constitution for the United Methodist Church today, although it wasn't ratified by all the conferences until a little later. And 71 years ago this week, a group of people did something that I'm sure a lot of people thought was crazy at the time. They started a little Methodist church in a youth cottage here at Wrightsville Beach. You see, we started out as a group of people who were willing to try something new and unconventional. We started as a group of people who saw possibilities instead of limitations. We started as a group of people who refused to ask why and instead dared to ask why not. What will the next 71 years hold for us? To what lengths are we willing to go to be faithful? What crazy dog idea is God given to you right now? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Most holy and gracious God, you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that you call to beat with you. Help us to see the problems that you see and to have the courage to work on them through the gifts that you give us. Lord, may we say out loud those things that are beating in our heart that we just can't sit still with. Lord, help us to work with others in some of the crazy dog things that are running through our head. Help us to say wow instead of how, and why not instead of why. Help us, like Jesus, to turn this world upside down. In his most holy name we pray. Amen.
This did something that many people would view as crazy on his last night, his last meal on earth. He sat down with his disciples, his friends, and with one of them that he knew was going to betray him and the rest that he knew was going to abandon him, and he offered his body and blood to them anyway. And he offers his body and blood to us. So I invite you to join with me on page 12 of your hymnals as we share in Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen. And we continue with the Great Thanksgiving on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. I'd like to invite those who are helping to serve communion to come forward. Because we are one loaf, because we are one body and we share in one loaf, we share in all of this God's crazy love together. And because there is one cup over which we give thanks, we are one body together. Here at Wrightsville, we invite you to come forward as you wish. There's no pressure to come forward, but also everyone is welcome, whether you're a member of this church or any church. You'll come forward, put out your hands, and receive a piece of bread, and you're invited to dip that in the cup. If you're gluten sensitive, there's also a gluten-free station that's over here by the piano. We invite you to come to taste and see that the Lord is good.